Davis closed his eyes against the smoldering embers of hellfire out the window, reducing the world to the red haze of sunlight through his eyelids. The sweet aroma of vanilla and jasmine almost managed to smother the stale tang of yesterday's pot. Petite hands slipped around his chest and hot breath caressed the hairline above his collar. "See something?" Alicia kissed his neck but left the condemnation implied. His eyes snapped open and he forced his gaze down to Central Park, 14 stories below. Traffic nudged along, frustration given form, gray-black demons sucking in and thriving on the choking exhaust from an infinity of cars. A riotous horde of school children tumbled out of a bright orange bus destined for the Museum of Natural History. Their blissful ignorance, their innocence, created a shield against the ravaged spirits around them, shriveled, twisted things without compassion or remorse, misshapen forms playing at human without a shred of humanity. Black fire belched noxious, sulfurous smoke from the massive granite rocks jutting from the green grass, the bones around which Olmsted had crafted his masterpiece. The bustling throngs couldn't see the flames, blinded by the concrete realities of Central Park West, where shriveled trees shed their lives in brilliant reds and yellows. Nightmare horses, ribs exposed from starvation and maltreatment, pulled carts full of oblivious romantics. Sooty vapor writhed around a man in a cheap suit as he waited for the light at 81st Street, small demons of wrath and pride shredding his soul in little bites. Unaware of the grasping claws and cackling mouths appearing and dissolving into the ether, he screamed red-faced into his cell phone with enough vehemence for even the rush hour crowd to give him a small berth. Davis closed his eyes again and leaned back into Alicia's eager embrace. No, nothing but rush hour. His hatred for the deception didn't keep it from his lips and didn't diminish his love for her. Alicia understood and believed the lie sold by psychiatrists and psychologists that Davis's condition came from a chemical problem, a temporary thing, an imbalance of dopamine or glutamate or a preponderance of glitchy neurons, an unwelcome intrusion that antipsychotics like lurisidone or clozapine dispelled for a time. She didn't understand the truth, which he'd long ago hidden in a medicine bottle. "Do you have your pills?" She kept her voice light, delicate, and he loved her for it, yet wanted to strangle her for the hint of condescension that slinked through to her lips. Slim, strong arms held him. The silence holding out for a reply he didn't want to give. His truth, her lie. He put his hand in his pocket and gripped the bottle, gave it a rattle. Murmur squirmed within, the little demon agitated by the sudden movement. "Good." She squeezed him again, got up on her tiptoes to rub her cheek on his stubble. Running a hand through his red curls, she tightened it into a fist, pulling his head back with an aggressive playfulness. "Because if you go crazy and leave me with your mother, I'll kill you both."